Hello and welcome to another edition of Inside the Burrow, the FAU podcast for and by fans. My name is Dan. I am joined by Jack and Shane. I am back this week, and tonight we are going to break down the Boca Raton Bowl and maybe dig into a little bit of season-ending stuff. But we'll kind of see how things we'll see how things flow. Maybe talk a little bit about some of the coaching changes that have been announced. But I guess to start off, FAU victorious, just dominated Southern Millionaires University 52-28. This was extremely satisfying. I think for all of us, and we'll maybe get into the reasons why. But FAU came in undermanned after losing their coach. Could have been let down. I know a lot of the fans were let down about the about being selected for the Boca Bowl. And I think after news broke of what was who was not going to be playing in the game, all three of us on our group text were pretty bummed and not quite sure about what was going to happen. But yeah, I think I'll throw it to you guys with this. But for me, my biggest takeaway, obviously, it was just a great game to watch, a great game to end on. My biggest takeaway is FAU finally had an opportunity against a name opponent like UCF, like Navy, like Miami at home as well. And we finally didn't fall on our face. And that was, to me, that's my biggest takeaway. And you couldn't have asked for a better ending for the year. So I don't know, Jack, what were obviously, we all were there, but Jack, what was your thoughts from up in the press box?
So, Dan, you know, it was funny. The mood up in the press box, I think it really mirrored what FAU fans were thinking. Is this really happening? Are we really just blowing this team out? When is this sixth-ranked offense that, you know, some media and a certain SMU player – we're hyping about, when are they going to come out and, you know, make a comeback? Shocking, especially when you consider the situation concerning Davidson, Antoine, Harrison Bryant, so on and so forth. Kiki, Shane and I were talking about all week long about how we're going to need a really big day from Kiki, and then, you know, whatever happened, happened, and we had to live without him. It was the next man up. And what a performance from Rashad Smith. His last day at FAU, his last game of his collegiate career, and he could not have played any better. I want to say he had, let me see here. He had about 11 tackles. I don't have the numbers right in front of me. I thought I did, so I beg your pardon. 11 or 12 tackles. He had that fumble return for a touchdown, an interception. He won defensive MVP. And you know what, when we're up in the press box and when we're filling out the MVP notes, they give us three pieces of paper, which is pretty uncommon, actually. They give us one for offense, one for defense, and one for special teams. When they first gave out the piece of paper, they only gave us one. And we just thought, just pick an MVP for the game, just like what we did with Conference USA. And when that was happening, people were talking about Chris. People were talking about John Rain, even. But a lot of us were saying, hey, guys, Rashad Smith balled out. When we thought that the defense was going to get run over. Props to him. I think he's the overall MVP, despite Robinson having a phenomenal game. I'm just right with you, Dan. I just can't believe we finally had a good outing in front of a big crowd on national TV in front of against a big opponent. It was everything we have ever hoped for. Shane, what did you think, you know, from the stands? I saw you, I think, in the Hyundai Hyundai deck for a little bit when I got on the field towards the end there. What did you think about the game?
Just to kind of piggyback off you with the Rashad Smith, it's almost like when Kiki couldn't play, we forgot that he arguably isn't even our best linebacker. Arguably the best player on the team, or best player on defense, I should say, but arguably not even our best linebacker. You know, Rashad Smith, I mean, he's just a magnet for the football. He's just always around it, whether there's a tip ball and just, you know, I was a little worried, especially our first two drives, we both went three and out. And I kind of said to myself, I said, man, we're just not going to throw the ball today. It's just, not happening. There's just too many guys out. I don't think anyone even would have been upset. And the defense started, it came out, played great. I think one thing I forgot, and I tweeted this out, was just kind of the, what you see, what kind of Florida DBs down here and kind of the pride they take in just getting your man, locking down a guy. I think if all three of us were just lined up out there and everyone else is suspended, James Pierre and Chris Tooley would have went out there and gave everything they can to shut down Prochet. I mean, that was just a challenge. Chris Tooley played his best career game as an Owl. I mean, he's made tons of plays, but I mean, in 2019, and I mean, when it's so hard to play defensive back, to see our guys, how many times would they bat a ball down and time it perfectly? I mean, it's fractions of a second. You see in the NFL, oh, we got there half a second early, flags everywhere. And you see our guys just so well coached, you know, get a hand around, get on their back, boom, play through the hands soon as that ball gets there. I mean, SMU had not seen a defensive backfield like that all year. They just took pride. Prochet ended up with like 9 catches for 86 yards or something like that. But most of that was when we emptied the benches and he had like a catch before half that got him some yards and they were just trying to set up for the Hail Mary. But man, they just came out there. It's, you know, I always kind of bring it back to recruiting and, you know, every year we kind of stack all these great Florida high 3-star DBs and it's like, well, there you go. There's the product. There's your rankings right there. You know, James Pierre is going to be a great NFL player eventually one day. Like, but it would just keep it coming. Miko Dotson wasn't even the star yesterday. He's been the star. Amon Ross played a great game. And you know what? I think there was also a little bit of an element of, okay, we're going to be okay next year too. You know, John Rain will be, you know, I made the thing John Rain is, you know, is open a lot of times. But Harrison Bryant's always open, even when he's covered. And John Rain kind of proved with some catches the other night that he made some catches in traffic, including the great kind of back shoulder one where he torqued his body back to make a big catch. And hopefully we get Rowan Smith kind of in that mix next year, but that's a discussion for another day. But wow. I mean, Brandon Robinson, walk on. James Brunson, I think, doubled his career catches. Doubled. I mean, he had 5 catches. He's just a guy who's just been here. He's playing special teams. I mean, and Mitchell got hurt in the first half, mm-hmm. right, Jet? Like, he got on that play, he got tackled low. He didn't come back into the game. And I was like, you know, they are – Willie Wright, other than kind of that – I didn't give him too much crap for – a lot of people were upset he dropped that one ball. But I think the ball is kind of fading away from him with the win. And maybe he should have got it. But still, he had 9 catches, almost 100 yards, a couple nice runs. Like, what do you think a game like with us losing D'Angelo Antoine, a game like that for Willie Wright going into next year to kind of like carry that off into the offseason as like, I'm back as the slot guy. Huge for Willie Wright.
Yeah. I mean, that was – he looked different. I think – and it could have been just because he didn't have to worry about basically maybe losing playing time or Antoine kind of taking over. But he looked different. He was running more confidently. And if you know, you may have seen that tweet of him calling out the SMU coaching staff and defenders. So I think he'll be ready to go next year for sure. So
yeah, really Willie's definitely one of the more likable, fun players, leaders on this team. Anyone who's kind of just been around him, Jack's like, or anyone that's like reported or interview him, he's one of the more fun, great kids on the team. So he's like one of the easiest to root for. And I just, anytime he made a play, it was just an awesome feeling.
Yeah, that was great to see. So we talked about Kiki being out, Malcolm Davidson, D'Angelo Antoine, those three were Malcolm Davidson. I think they said had a concussion in practice. I mean, he was something that happened. So obviously, you're losing three. You lose 3 starting players there. Harrison Bryant, Mackey Award winner. He's, you know, after winning a conference championship, his mind is now on the NFL. So, you know, what is quite common today, and I'm not going to hate on it for sure. He sat out sat out the bowl game, and who else am I missing? Yeah, I feel Pico. Like I'm missing one more.
Pico.
Oh yeah, Pico as well. Pico Harrison. So you know you're losing your most reliable wide receiver at in D'Angelo Antoine, using your starting running back in Malcolm Davidson, you know, starting linebacker, you know, kind of heart of the defense type thing. But I mean, it was just really something to see the guys just dominate. I mean, it was like, I think there was some frustration taken out. And one of the key things I think, you know, people need to remember that SMU was a 10 win team. How many 10 win teams has FAU beaten in the past? And again, not just beat them, but dominate. And one of the key things that stuck out to me is SMU's coach said that he was surprised at how ready the guys were. And it's like, to me, if I'm an SMU fan, I'm pretty pissed off at my coach being like, so what were our guys? Why weren't our guys ready like that? So maybe they thought that, all right, well, Lane's gone and there's interim coach. We'll roll into Boca and we'll roll over this team. They're only from Conference USA, and our guys went out and, you know, it was pretty awesome to see, especially, you know, and we can talk a little bit about the coaches and kind of what they meant this past year as well, reflecting on the year. But it was really something to see this team with these coaches kind of go out that way. That was something that I think we as Owl fans need to remember that this was a pretty awesome way to go out this year.
Before I kind of ask this next question, I want to make this point. You know, it does seem like this team plays with a chip on its shoulder all the time, which is pretty incredible for the success. They're kind of reflective of, you know, their former head coach Lane Kiffin, who kind of coached that way, kind of, you know, it's this career, and you know, they kind of just played with this attitude. And you knew when, I think there was like one timeout or it was a regular timeout or media timeout where it seemed like the players and the huddles were both kind of talking to each other across the field and things were getting a little chippy. And I'm like, okay, you know, like they got FAU's attention. But you could quickly tell, I think even from the first couple SMU drives, we were the more athletic team by far. We were just more athletic than they were. And, you know, it's just becoming such a common theme. I haven't wrapped my mind around how good we are. Cole Kublik sent out a tweet that I think, correct me if I'm wrong, we've beaten our last four opponents at home 172 to like 42 or 178 to 48, something ridiculous.
Yeah, domination for sure.
Yeah, like so almost about 150 points in four games. I mean, that's unreal. I mean, that teams can only dream about being this good. A lot of football programs every 20 years or so. I mean, you know, we thought UAB was going to get, they ended up losing App State, but they were hung around in that game for a while with App State. And it's like, well, wait a second. We just like UAB didn't belong on the field with us a couple weeks ago. So, I mean, yeah, I do think, Dan, you're right. There's an element. I think SMU walked in here, watched how we lost to UCF and thought they were closer to UCF than they were to us. And I also think we're a much better football team than we were 10 weeks ago, just especially on the defensive side of the ball, as Glenn Spencer's system's been kind of improved. You know, we'll have to adjust to another defensive system now, but, you know, just kind of, I don't know, absorb it and appreciate it. 2 11-1 years out of 3, 2 Boca Bowl victories. You know, this is a big victory going forward. So I think it definitely, you saw some national writers kind of tweeting about it. You know, the only thing I wish is Conference USA kind of has a bad perception now, but we dominated Conference USA so much. It's like, we don't even, we're so much better than everyone. I mean, I tweeted that out before the conference championship game. We're beating everyone by over 2 touchdowns and a field goal. So
Well, Shannon, it's funny when you mentioned the combined score of the last four home games. Those last four home games were also against bowl teams. They're against an FIU team that beat Miami. It was against a UAB team that really hung in with number 20 App State. It was with a Southern Miss team who's, I think, better, probably the best team in the West after Louisiana Tech. And then, obviously, SMU, 10-win team, number 6 offense in the nation. I felt like this game was just a microcosm of the season of just different players stepping up at different times, especially on the
defensive
side of the ball. Devon Brown, great game. Horsa Barnwell, walk-on linebacker, tied for second most tackles on defense. Javion Posey, first collegiate touchdown.
How about that? First collegiate catch. All preseason, it was written about him, how he was, let's play receiver because we're so short there, because he's a quarterback. And the last play, pretty much on offense, the FAU, he gets his one catch. I think you tweeted out, people could hear Charlie West Jr. going crazy in the coach's box, which is cool. Now, I will say this. Now, this is a compliment. I don't want to see Javion Posey at receiver anymore. The glimpses we got of quarterback at him in the fall, I really want to see him there.
It'd be exciting to see him. Definitely.
Yes, I want to see him at quarterback. I'm really excited to see him at quarterback. So I hope he doesn't get too used to it. Like, this will be a cool college story, but I think he's going to be a great quarterback. So
that's something we'll definitely talk about down the future, because he's a different style quarterback than Chris. He's more similar to Nick Tronti, but Nick Tronti is more likely to just run you over like a Tim Tebow style than kind of break your ankles and run past you like Mike Vick. Going back to you, Shane, about just how lucky we are. I was talking to a Marshall fan on Twitter, Trace Johnson, good kid, even though the rest of Marshall fans can suck it. And he was talking about a couple of days ago that FAU fans just don't understand how lucky they are right now. And he's absolutely right. Be able to dominate to the level that we have in 2 out of the 3 years, get the amount of national attention that we have. And the way how things are shaking up, guys, we're, knock on wood, we're probably going to finish in the top 25 to end the season.
Yeah, we really need some losses to happen in front of us.
We'll need some losses. And you never know. It's bowl week. It's the bowl season. That's what you guys have been saying. That's what my friends have been saying when I said that we were going to lose by 14 plus going into the game. I remember we both said by a possession on the last podcast, Shane. And then once the players not playing came out, I was telling all my friends, we're going to lose by 14, 17, 21. And I've never been more happy to be wrong, because like you're talking about with the DBs and then playing with the chip on your shoulder, we had that swagger. And you love to see it. This is the reason why we're fans, especially of a South Florida based football program, for that swagger. Everyone knows that we have it.
Yeah, it was nice to put that on display, and I think, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about the coaching changes.
Well, I have a quick question, Dan. Real quick, let's do this before we skip to that. Best FAU football team in school history?
I gotta say, yeah. I mean,
what a question.
I don't think the 2017, we dominated Conference USA, but I don't know. There was just something about this team that, if they got down in games, they bounced back. Talent-wise, you've got to say that this was our most talented team. I'm trying to think. Obviously, yeah, we had Motor and Kareth White in 2017. And the defense, we had Aziz Al-Shaair.
I think it just came from different places this year.
Yeah.
Right? I think overall, I also say, maybe we could split hairs on this. I don't know if it's the most important, but most impressive win in FAU history. When you factor us not having everyone, we hung over 50 on them.
Yeah.
When you consider the score and how much we were down, I mean, that's, the purely just most impressive. Maybe there's other more ceremonial kind of important wins, like the New Orleans Bowl was kind of that stepping onto the stage win for FAU, but this win itself is just a pure in a vacuum is probably the best win.
Also, it's the first win in program history on over the air basic cable. I mean, you know, on NBC, CBS, Fox. Game was on ABC on 3:30 nationally televised audience. I had family and friends from all over the country, you know, just flipping through the channels, and they saw FAU and were congratulating me on such a great game that they had. I think that the 2017 team beats this one head to head. And Glenn Spencer, he kind of hinted at that afterwards when, because he's the one that said, this is the greatest team in FAU history. He said right before that, I know that they have similar records and I know about the NFL town of that 2017 team. But I really think he was talking about the adversity that this year's team had to get over to become champions. I think that's what makes this year the most special out of them all. We kept doubting ourselves over and over again. How many times did we say we're not the best team in Conference USA? Yeah, we're better in Marshall, but Louisiana Tech is better. Southern Miss is better. I just don't see, you know, we need a perfect game to win this game. We said that a lot this year. But yet the team has found time after time new ways of overcoming these challenges. And it makes you so proud. So that's why I say this year tops them all.
And I'll finish on this. Okay, I do want to talk a little bit about the coaches, but I would say on defense as a whole, you could all, you know, as the year went on, you could rely on the defense to make a play to come up big. But you know, similar to your point, Jack, on offense, it was like there was a different standout every single game. Yeah, D'Angelo Antoine kind of became that reliable receiver, but in the, you know, beginning of the year, John Mitchell was kind of opening some eyes. you know, Larry McCammon, when he was not injured, was doing well. And then Malcolm Davidson steps right in and starts doing well. And then, you know, you have a Mackey Award. And I don't know if you guys went over this. I didn't get a chance to listen to last week's show. But, like, having a Mackey Award winner on your team is – I mean, it, certainly it's not the Heisman for a team like FAU.
He swept every All-American.
Yes, that too. I mean, this is the type of national recognition that, I mean, and that's why I got to say this year's team over 2017, just because of the what it brought nationally to the university overall. I mean, this is, it just seemed like every, on offense, everybody, with the exception of Chris, I mean, Chris had one and a half bad games in conference anyway. I mean, it was something that on offense always kind of seemed like there was somebody else jumping out that was making the big play that was coming up clutch. And I'll kind of transition this over to the coaches. That in large part could be because of the quality of the coaches that we had, whether it was identifying film and knowing, you know, and what the team's weaknesses were. So, offensive coordinator Charlie Weiss just did a phenomenal job, and certainly Glenn Spencer. I think FAU had 32 takeaways on the year, and we were plus 22 in turnover margin. I mean, just freaking crazy. But both, oddly enough, both Glenn Spencer and Charlie Partridge, how dare I say that name during this year, Charlie Weiss Jr., are going to be coordinators at University of South Florida. So we certainly wish them the best. And that's Glenn Spencer, I think, I mean, they're both going to be hard. And I don't know, obviously in the news we announced that Jim Leavitt was coming to FAU, but I don't know who Willie Taggart has potentially lined up for offensive coordinator.
I'll kind of talk about the coaches. So first I want to emphasize this. I see a lot of people kind of in the Twitter world saying, oh, coach, they were let go. You do not know what happened. They could have just decided, hey, thanks, but no thanks. You want to move on. Jeff Scott is going to build something really good at USF, especially with these two now. That's going to be a really good football program in a couple of years. And they could have just said, hey, you know, thanks, but no thanks. USF had a huge coaches pool. They could have been got more money, and just thought, you know, it was best to just kind of move on. People go through these decisions all the time, you know, family and all this stuff. I just see a lot of people just say, oh, Taggart didn't want him. You do not know that. Okay. Nobody knows that, what those discussions were. Now, speaking of, you know, Juan, it was reported today that, you know, it's Clint Trickett is close to becoming our offensive coordinator. Great hire, in my opinion. Clint Trickett has, you know, been is an up and coming, you know, if he's the offensive coordinator, he's an up and coming, great young coach. He's been one of our better recruiters. Like I've pointed out, he's familiar with the players, so it's going to help with the transition. You just saw what our tight ends produced, okay? And, you know, there's rumors that he will take over as the offensive coordinator and, you know, be the quarterback's coach. Now, Pete Thamel had an article today that kind of, you know, talked about Willie Taggart and stuff, and Willie talked about calling plays, and it seemed like he didn't really – call plays at Florida State, and he didn't like that and got away from him. So it seems like he kind of wants to get back to that. So, you know, yes, we could move up Clint Trickett or bring in another OC and they can work together with Willie, but it definitely seems like Willie is going to be very involved in the play calling. Kind of, I think, similar to what we just had here with Lane, okay? So I know a lot of people are putting the emphasis on the OC, but I think just from, you know, reading the tea leaves in that article, or pretty much just exactly what he said, you know, he wants to call plays. So he kind of gave up those duties at Florida State, and he said he didn't like it. He said, he's like, you know, when we were having success at USF and Western Kentucky, I was calling plays. You guys check it out. It was a Pete Thamel article of Yahoo Sports. Jim Leavitt, some people would have been satisfied with him being the head coach here. Right. You know, he's had his issues kind of way in the past with USF, and that kind of turned into worse issues. But, you know, everywhere he's been in coach defense, his defense has been good. I say this, if you can make Colorado's defense good for a year, you can do anything. So it stinks. And, you know, we saw how great Glenn Spencer was, and Charlie Weiss Jr. just called, you know, a good, amazing game, and we're losing two great coaches. But if you would have told me this was – we would end up with Jim Leavitt and Clint Trickett being moved up to the OC, I would have said that's best-case scenario in replacing them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. To kind of fuel the flame for the Clint Trickett to offensive coordinator rumors, his former Twitter bio said tight ends coach at Florida Atlantic University. It now just says coach – at Florida Atlantic University. So read into that however you will, but there's something going on there. For Jim Leavitt, you're absolutely right, Shane. People were excited for him to become the head coach, and now he's defensive coordinator. People from all over the country, USF, Colorado, Oregon, Florida State, are all saying that's a great hire, and so is the national media. That Colorado defense you're talking about, Shane, that defense was better than good. It was great. It was phenomenal.
What year was that? I think
2014. Don't paint that on me. But I want to say around 2014, 2015, maybe. So he did good things there. My only concern is that he runs like a 3-4, but just so you guys know, it's kind of like a 3-3-5, 3-4 hybrid, if you will.
It's kind of like what we run now. That's a little bit like what we run now. It's kind of
a little bit bigger than what we run now, slightly. But you have to think someone has experience with Jim Leavitt, he's going to be smart enough to know that he's going to have to make some tweaks to, you know, to move around a little bit with, you know, some mid-major athletic defensive players. Losing Spencer and Weiss, it bites, guys. You know, it is what it is. You can really tell the players loved Spencer and Spencer loved the players. Spencer was pretty emotional during the post-game conference. And Charlie Weiss, I mean, what else can you say about him? He called the perfect game at the Boca Bowl. So it is what it is, but I'm right there with you, Shane. I know this is kind of boring for our audience, you know, all of us agreeing like this, but this is a best case scenario if Clint does get that promotion. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I like, again, and maybe hopefully they hang on to a couple more of the assistants. There's rumor out there they're going to hang on to NORAD, the O-line coach, which I think is good. Just sometimes with O-line, just keep it in place. He drew some criticism at the beginning of the year, but man, has that O-line turned a corner?
Wow.
The last 7 years. Like, literally, we talked about it. You know what's funny is FAU seems to have these turning points. When a season just goes from being good to great at Western Kentucky
again,
right? Yeah. And it seemed like that last drive to put the game away, where we were just running the ball with Nick Tronti down their throat in the O-line. It was like I said, we said it then. It was the first time where they said, "We know you're going to run the ball at us," and we did. Really, kind of all year, and the O-line's been great since then. So, I think that that might help with the transition. Yeah, I mean, I keep as much attack as possible, but now we know that late September FAU-USF game has storylines out the wazoo. You know, two of our former coordinators, two former USF head coaches on our side. So
crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
and hopefully we're both playing well at that point. I mean, that game, I think that game would get, not a ton. It's College Game Day is not going to show up, but we certainly would get a decent amount of national exposure.
But,
decent crowd.
Yeah, it definitely locally that'll be written about. You know, people will pay attention to that. So,
yeah.
But I just wanted to really give a shout out to the offensive line, because I'm really thankful that you did that. Brandon Walton's going to go down as one of the best offensive linemen in program history. It really helped when Desmond Noel from Colorado State showed up. Junior Diaz. Names go on and on. I'm really, really thankful that you said that, Shane. So I'm sorry to interrupt, but
you're good.
Chris said it himself. We would not be here if it was not for the offensive line, and I'm thankful that they're finally getting credit.
Was he wasn't sacked once?
No,
on Saturday. I don't think so. Yeah. No.
If he was, it was when he ran out of bounds behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah,
he gave himself.
Chris even had his best day running.
Yeah,
he did.
And it's funny.
You know what? One quick name I forgot. I thought James Charles played arguably the best game of his career. He only had – I know he's had better stat games, but whenever they put him in, he kind of seemed to rip off a big run.
Almost every run was almost a positive yardage.
Yeah, so it's
– SMU is one of the best teams when it comes to tackle for loss in the entire country. And Chris, in the post game, made sure that everyone knew that he wasn't sacked. And SMU is number one in TFL. So,
yeah.
I love the swagger. Love it.
So, it was it definitely was a fun weekend. And I think for us, it was a great way to end the season. So, I think we are. And do you guys have any further thoughts about the game or anything like that? So, next week, we are going to try – to get some folks together for kind of a season wrap up show that we'll be bringing to you guys. So as I said on Twitter, this is the type of thing that you really need to enjoy. I mean, like, again, we're just fans, but being more actively involved, it's almost like we earned this. You know, we put in our due by living through the 3-9 years and going through the frustrations of getting blown out by UCF at home, and the frustration at the beginning of the year. This is something that we should enjoy as
our those years are always so frustrating, because deep down we all knew this is what it should look like. We knew this is what we were capable of. You know what I mean? When you understand the potential, it's even harder to kind of swallow those years. But enjoy this. Grab your championship shirts at all time. Let's wear them around town. We're not going away. Like Dan said, we're going to try and maybe get some folks together and kind of do like a roundtable season wrap up. We will do a special recruiting episodes, maybe one or two around the second signing day, which will be really big. It's kind of a dead period for recruiting now, but as soon as we eke into January, you'll start to see me all over the nest. So, you know, as we try and finish up this class, and, you know, as maybe they'll also add some people from the portal, hint, hint. You know, so just kind of follow this. But I'll say this now, you know, one kind of point of discussion we've had all year is kind of growing the fan base. And it seemed like there was at times where it felt like it was stepping back. We should have more. Start now. Start growing the fan base now. If you're an FAU fan, hey, you want to get season tickets? You want to renew? Right now it's $20 renew. I'm shouting out for FAU ticket office. Like, this is where you say, hey, you know, we have a section together. Do you guys want to split tickets or let's add, you know, this is where you expand your group now, you know, throw away that save the date for next October 16th, you know, they don't need you to come go to the games. So, you know, yeah, this is where we expand our fan base right now and start building into next year.
Yeah. We've got to carry the momentum in the fan base and with the program when it comes to recruiting and growing the season ticket holders. Thank you for mentioning that, Shane. And before you wrap up, you guys already know I have to mention a little bit of a basketball drop real quick. Basketball team, big 15-point win over Mercer in Macon, Georgia a couple days ago. Huge, huge win. We were underdogs and we came out victorious. We've won 6 out of our last 7. Another big game coming up this Sunday. Hey, we were talking about USF a couple times. This pod, will guess who we're playing. We're playing USF right here in Tampa. I'll be there covering the game, so make sure you're following the Owl's Nest for it. USF just choked, couldn't believe it, against Florida State, who's ranked in the top 25. USF was winning almost the entirety of the game, then they lost on a 19-3 run in the last 3 minutes or something like that. Crazy. So it'll definitely be a tough test. But it's the last test before we start conference play. So let's get another dub and let's keep the streak going as we head into the CUSA schedule.
Yeah, you heard Jack. Go support FAU basketball. So with that, we, as always, we thank you for checking this out. Make sure you check out FAUOwlsNest.com for any of the latest coaching news. If you want to go back and relive the game, feel free to do that. But live this one up, Owl fans. This is a good time to be an Owl fan, and we definitely we're gonna enjoy it here. So we'll catch you guys next week for the next episode. Go Owls.